and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Welcome to episode 186, the I can't seem to get this episode finished episode. What's happened is I've recorded a lot of quilt diaries that I haven't been happy with. It's not just that they've been rambling. You know, if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, I am not against rambling. Even if I apologize for it a lot, I still do it. I can't seem to stop myself. But no, I just kind of went on and on. I was treating podcasting as therapy. And although maybe you'd find that interesting, I just kind of felt like it was self-indulgent. So there's only one quilt diary, and it's quilt diary day two. So after this introduction, you will hear a click and then quilt diary day two. Don't worry that there's no quilt diary day one. It's gone. It's gone into the ether. What I was trying to talk about really was about vulnerability and shame and the weirdness of internet life when you put stuff out there and get immediate feedback. And, you know, I should say that I've been blogging on the Off-Kilter Quilt website, and the feedback I get is 99% positive. I've only gotten recently like one negative comment, and it was just odd enough that I knew it wasn't really worth getting upset about or worrying about. And although it's always, you know, I always want people to love me 100% of the time for 100% of the things I do. So, and I am a delicate flower, but I've learned, I'm old enough now and mature enough, supposedly, and wise enough, but to be able to deal with criticism, particularly unconstructive criticism, but it still hurts. It's a little pang. And, you know, my discussion was actually, and my blog post as well, was actually prompted by something that Daisy of Lazy Daisy Quilts and Reads, something that she posted on Facebook, which she gave me permission to write about, so I'm sure she's okay. I feel like she's probably okay with me talking about it, but she had posted in the Twilter group about whether people were going to submit to QuiltCon, and she was thinking about it, but also worrying about being rejected, and it spawned a really good conversation, and some people were like, go for it, and you have to risk stuff, and you have to risk rejection, and other people were like, yeah, you know, I don't enter competitions, because it's just not fun for me, it's not why I quilt. And I thought Tina hit on something really important. You know, she talked about the most recent QuiltCon and about how Melissa Averinos was treated after she won, and, you know, about the sort of shaming aspect of internet culture. And she said, you know, just felt, you know, she wasn't worried about, Tina was not worried about being judged or rejected. It was the sort of scrutiny we get, particularly when we win. And quilt competitions are interesting. It's not like swimming, right? It's not like a sport that is timed. And whoever is the fastest gets the medal, right? There's a lot of subjectivity involved. Now, one of the things that has bothered me about some of the negative discussion about QuiltCon 2016 and my brother's jeans is I have felt a lot of it was disrespectful to the judges. I mean, it's okay to not like a quilt, clearly. You know, that we come to these things with different experiences and aesthetic preferences and expectations and all kinds of things. But to be dismissive, it's not just dismissive of the quilter, which I think is a shaming thing. I don't think we should dismiss people. I don't think we should dismiss other people's quilts that they've clearly put a lot of time and thought and effort into. And I don't think we should dismiss judges. You know, they spent a lot of time with those quilts. They gave it a lot of thought. I can only assume that their choices were responsible and defensible and well thought out. So, but we live in this culture where everyone has an opinion, and my opinion is as good as your opinion. My judgment is as valuable as your judgment. And on the one hand, yeah, it's America, and everybody gets to have their say, and I'm all for that. But sometimes I get tired of that sense that everyone's an expert. It's not true. Now, I'm not saying if you didn't like the quilt that you should feel badly about that. I'm just saying that we should all give a little thought. So when something wins something that we don't like to at least think, well, what do you think the judges saw in that? What do you think the Pulitzer Prize jury was thinking about? The National Book Award, the whatever, right? What were those judges? What did they see? What do people who like that quilt, that book, that song, what did they see? What did they hear? What did they read? We don't do that enough, I don't think. Question our own assumptions and our own opinions. And I hold myself in that group as well. But let's talk about quilting. Let's not talk about what I talked about before and then excluded you from hearing. I was just talking about vulnerability and shame, and that we do live in a shaming culture, and we need to have each other's backs. And I know so many people in my particular quilting communities, which tend to be online communities, who are incredibly supportive and giving and generous and do look for the good and do look for something good to say. And as some people have pointed out, particularly with big competitions, it is a competition. And particularly national competitions, you should expect that there will be some negative response to the winning quilt because people will have different opinions. And I think that's true enough. But sometimes I think, why? Why do we have to say it? If you can't say something nice, why say something at all? And we just, I think at this point, because we're so intent on expressing ourselves, that thought no longer occurs to us. You don't have to say anything. Your silence can speak, right? I don't know. But now I'm rambling again. I'm going to stop. We're going to talk about quilts and quilt making. Crazy, I know. Did I mention that it's March 25th? It is. It's Good Friday. So I almost want to say, Happy Good Friday, and that always seems weird. Happy this day in which we observe the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, who you may or may not have any affection for, but nonetheless was a real human being who did get crucified. And so not necessarily happy Good Friday, just, hey, it's Good Friday. And I did a little bit of work this morning. I really wanted to take the whole morning off, but I sat down and did a little bit of work. And now I'm thinking about what to do next. I may try to take my dog out for a little. He's around here, so W-A-L-K. And I'm having coffee with some friends this afternoon. But what I'm really hoping to do is get some quilting work done. Now, here's where I am. Yesterday, I went to Thimble Pleasures. And I bought Civil War repro fabric to make a traditional birds in the air quilt. As you know, or may not know, if you're new to the podcast, you wouldn't know this. I am about to publish my first quilt novel. It's happening later in the summer. It's called Birds in the Air. And in the book, the main character, Emma, finds a quilt in the attic, in a trunk in her attic. That's sort of like my dream scenario, finding a hidden trunk in the attic. And it's got a quilt in it. And it turns out to be a birds in the air quilt. So I thought, I'm going to make a traditional birds in the air quilt and also a modern birds in the air. So I thought, if I'm going to do a traditional one, I should try to do, the quilt she finds is Civil War era. So I'm like, I need to get some repro fabrics. So I did. I got a turkey red print and a blue that is not, strictly speaking, I don't think Prussian blue, but it was as close as they had that I liked that worked with the red. So we're calling it good. And then a kind of cream print, a tone on tone, I believe is what we call it. And it's going to be very pretty, although because I am an idiot, I cut it out wrong. Not all of it. Thank goodness. Thank goodness I am lazy. Thank goodness. I only did, from the three fabrics, cut about a quarter yard from each of the fabrics. So I will have to go and get a little bit more fabric, but just kind of $6 worth, I think. Anyway, not even that. Maybe. Anyway, let's move on with the story. I was thinking I wanted to do 8-inch blocks, and for some reason, because I'm stupid, I did 2.5-inch squares, but you know, I'm doing half-square triangles from those squares. So, of course, by the time I sewed and cut, they were 2-inch squares, and then once they're sewn into a block, they'll be 1.5-inch squares. I'm like, I should really consult with Jay and Pam, aka the art quilt maker and hip to be a square math genius, before I start these things. I don't, I just know better. I knew better. I knew better than to do that, and I did it. Well, the good news is I like a good pieced back, and so I can, I will, what I've cut, I will use in the back of the quilt. So it's not lost, but I just feel stupid. But I did it. And I have to say, before I did, so I washed the fabric. I'm not always a pre-washer. But in this case, particularly given the red and the saturation of the blue, I thought, I probably should. So I did, and I'm glad I did, because I put some color catchers in, and they definitely caught some color. And then I ironed and used my Mary Ellen's Best Press, and I just thought, this is so satisfying. I think that must, I wonder, I shouldn't make assumptions, but to me, it's just so fun when you get the new fabric and you wash it and you iron it and you lay it out and it's so pretty, and then you cut it wrong. I didn't cut it, I just, yeah, anyway. But I believe I'm going to try hand piecing it. I'm going to start out by hand piecing it, because what I'd like to have it done by the end of August. That gives me a long time, and I can work on other quilts on the machine, but I can at the same time. So if you hear noise behind me, Travis is having a dream. I think I'm going to wake him up. He's still dreaming. He sounds like he's just hunting. I think I'll leave him be. So today, recutting and getting it right this time. And the other thing, so we have a long weekend here, and the other thing I'm going to do is baste the Victoria Findlay Wolf, the VFW Star Quilt, and start thinking about how to quilt it. I was inspired. I saw my friend Kati, who listens to this podcast, she posted a picture of a quilt that she had just quilted on Instagram. And I really liked the quilting. And I just have to relearn stuff again and again and again. And with machine quilting, one of the things I have to remember is you break down the quilt into small parts. Now, with the VFW Star Quilt, it has five stars, so five squares placed erratically. Somewhat, and a navy blue background. So there are these big expanses of quilt to quilt, and then the squares themselves. And I, looking at Cottie's quilt, it made me think, yeah, you could just work with outline squares with thread in the background fabric in the navy blue, and within those squares do some quilting, and it could almost be like that the solid, the background is almost a canvas for a kind of quilt sampler, a machine quilting sampler. Anyway, I was just happy to get the first glimmer of an idea. Now, knowing me, I will quilt a little bit and realize I'm doing it completely the wrong way, or come up with a better idea. Quilting for me is like writing. I have to do a lot of revising. It is easier to delete passages of stories than it is to dequilt a quilt, but there you go. Speaking of stories and quilts, I need your help. What I'm thinking about doing. I forgot to tell you something. Forgot to tell you. So I went to Thimble Pleasures and bought this fabric, and the woman who was helping me, whose name I can't remember and who I really like, and I need to memorize her name. She doesn't know my name, but she's got hundreds of customers, and I only have her and a few other staff members, but I like her a lot. And can I tell you something exciting? Thimble Pleasures is carrying other solids than just Kona. Now, not American brand cotton, which I've grown very fond of, but an RJR cotton, and then another one. Oh, that I ended up not buying, so I don't have it here, the name. But they were both really nice. And when I told my friend, my Thimble Pleasures employee friend, that I was so happy, she said, "Oh, I hate Kona." I'm like, I lost an ally. She said, but she said the younger quilters want us to carry it, which makes sense. It's inexpensive, although so was the RJR. Cotton is a little more expensive, and the way the American brand cotton is also a little more expensive, but not a ton. More expensive than Kona, though. And but I also think Kona does a great job of doing challenges and getting the Kona word out there. So in some ways, I don't know, you'd have to tell me, but it's almost for me, Kona is just another word for solid. And so I thought that was interesting what she said, that the younger quilters really insist that they carry it. But I'm glad some of us older quilters have gotten in there and said, we'll pay a dollar more a yard for better quality solid. So that was exciting. But in any event, so she was asking me what I was making the quilt for. So I came clean and said, I am publishing a quilt novel and it's called Birds in the Air and I want to make some Birds in the Air quilt. And in case, you know, I do any kind of readings, which I already have one planned, which I'll be able to tell you about in a couple weeks. And she said, well, you should come and do a book signing here. And I said, really? She said, yeah, come give me, you know, write down your name and the name of the book and your contact information and somebody will get in touch with you. I said, would you guys carry the book? Would you sell it here? She said, of course we would. So, very exciting. But I have this idea that I'm going to try to put together some sort of presentation that I could take to guilds. And that's where I would love to have any input you might have to offer. What would your guild enjoy? My idea was doing a short reading, having some variations on Birds in the Air quilts. You know, the Birds in the Air block itself has many varieties. I mean, we know that's pretty common. There's one block name that represents actually three or four variations of a block. Although one of the things that's interesting with Birds in the Air is there are several variations that just seem like slight shifts. And then there's one really complicated Birds in the Air block that I'm pretending I've never seen. I don't know. Anyway, but my thought was do a short reading from the book, talk about the Birds in the Air quilt, talk about, you know, have some quilts, maybe just something, just some sort of, say, 30-minute presentation that I could do. So if you have any ideas, like what would be interesting, I have a friend and she's not a quilter, but she's a writer. And she said, oh, you should do something called Quilting a Story, which is a great title. But I don't know what would people want to hear. I mean, if I'm going to quilt guilds, they're not writers, they're quilters, although tons of quilters I know are very serious readers. So if you have any ideas, let me know. But I am working on ideas for quilts that would be good to have. And the traditional Civil War era quilt is where we're starting. So I've told you about VFW, thinking about quilting that. And I'm almost done, just minutes away from being done with my second donation quilt, the red and white quilt. And I was thinking about using that sort of for quilting practice, but I feel like I have the first donation quilt, I'm going to have this quilt, and they're kind of almost like sample quilts. So when this church group finally gets together, which I hope is going to happen in a couple of weeks, several of the people who are very interested in doing it are going to Haiti on a mission trip on Monday. So I think when they get back, we will try to get together and discuss and plan. But I feel like the sample quilt should be as simple as possible for the people who don't quilt, for people, you know. And so to have any sort of funky free motion quilting, I think could be confusing. So I think I will do just a straight line quilting on that. But that also, so I need to finish that up and get it basted and quilted. I could be doing a lot of basting this weekend. I do not know. So that's where I am. It's always fun to buy new fabric. And especially someone like me, who I am not a huge fabric purchaser. I'm a project purchaser, we should say that. So, so I'm looking forward to cutting out some pieces correctly and getting to work. I will say, I do have a couple of the Birds of the Air pieces up on my design wall. And it's darling. It's a darling little block. And by little, I do mean little. I think once I got it all sewn together, it'd be like a 3-inch block. So darling, but I could see, again, I'll use it. I will have a very interesting back planned out for this quilt. All right. I think that's what I have to tell you right now. I don't have any good book talk. In fact, I'd love for you to tell me what to read next. I could use something. I have been dipping into Bill Bryson's Notes from a Small Island, which was his first book about England. You know, I read The Road to Little Dribbling, whatever, his latest book, which I enjoyed. And yeah, he's hilarious. So, but that's where I feel like I am right now, kind of dipping in and out of books. I did not finish Under the Wide and Starry Sky. We had our book group meeting last Friday, and it was great. I actually got Skyped in to my book group meeting because the man and Jack were out of town looking at colleges, so it was just Will, and I don't really like leaving Will or anyone really alone for 4 hours, but you know, it just is nervous making. So I got Skyped into the book group meeting, and what was great is was our core group. The people, everyone there, the four of us at our meeting, were all original members, which means we actually talked about the book, which was quite fabulous. And I hadn't finished it, but everyone else had. So it was also great because then they could tell me, you know, it was actually a really good way to talk about the book for me to go, now what happened with so-and-so? Now, da-da-da, and there's always, here's how everything ended. It's a really well-written book. You know, she's a good, the author's Nancy Horan, who wrote Loving Frank. And she writes beautifully. It's not that. I think it's an interesting thing. It's historical fiction. It's about Robert Louis Stevenson and his American-born wife. And the problem with a lot of people's lives, particularly writers' lives and artists' lives, is you think they would be all dramatic, and some of them are. I think Picasso had a pretty interesting life, and Frank Lloyd Wright had a very interesting life. But a lot of people's lives, even artists and writers, are just sort of day, like all, everybody's lives. They're occasional dramatic peaks, but mostly it's just getting through. It's just getting through and taking care of the people you love, right? But that lacks drama. And I kind of felt like the book, at some point I kind of wasn't getting pulled through the book. So I would recommend Loving Frank if you haven't read that. Our next book is The Boys in the Boat. And I'm looking forward to reading that. But if you have any, particularly novels, but nonfiction too, any book recommendations, I would love to hear them. So I think we'll get on with the quilt diary. Again, it's going to be quilt diary day 2, and then I will return to finish things up. So see you shortly. Quilt diary day 2. This is probably going to be a fast one, but it is Saturday, March 19th, which means it's National Quilting Day, and I feel like I should do a quilt diary on National Quilting Day. I quilted at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park this afternoon, which was a lot of fun. Now, it was hilarious because I don't know whose idea this was. I mean, I think it was someone either doing publicity for, I don't think for the Bulls, because the baseball game was played between the University of North Carolina and Duke University, both which are local. And I think it was one of the schools decided, hey, let's have a kind of fun publicity event. It's possible that they were working in conjunction with, I don't know, students majoring in business marketing or something. Anyway, so someone, and I'd really actually love to know who, came up with the idea, hey, let's break the Guinness Book of World Records for number of quilters quilting at a ballpark. Interesting idea. I don't think it got publicized that well. In fact, I was looking at the papers. I get both the Raleigh paper and the Durham paper, and between them, you get a lot of Chapel Hill news as well. And there wasn't anything in the paper about it. So that made me think, don't know if we're going to have a huge turnout there. And sure enough, I got to the park, you know, and I'm sort of outside of the gate, and I'm looking around, and I don't know why. I just expected to see like some just throngs of quilters with clearly carrying quilting stuff with them, or you know, bags or whatever. And I wasn't seeing them. And so I went up to the gate and I said, "I'm a quilter. I'm here to quilt. I'm supposed to get a free. Do I still need to go pick up a ticket?" And he said, "Yes. Go over to the ticket." Whatever, taker. The ticket seller. So I went over and there was a woman in front of me and she looked to me like a quilter. So I said, and she looked at me and I looked at her. I said, "Are you here for quilting?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Now, are we supposed to have tickets?" Because there was a sign on the window saying tickets for quilters. I was like, "Were we supposed to call and reserve?" And she said, "Yes." And she got up to the front of the line. She got her ticket. And then as she turned around and she whispered into my ear, she said, "Just say your name and say you're here to pick up your ticket." And so I did. And sure enough, they just handed me a ticket. So anyway, she was sort of like, "Yeah, you just got to fake it till you make it." Anyway, it turned out her name was Willa. And we walked into the ballpark together, and then she had to go to the restroom. So I thought, well, I'll go find the big group of quilters. And I got up there, and there wasn't a very big crowd at all. Now, it's a Saturday. Both UNC and Duke are on their spring breaks. And after a week of really gorgeous spring-like weather, it's cold, and it was actually, it started raining very lightly, and yeah, it wasn't really a great baseball day or a great quilting outdoors day. But yeah, so I'm looking around like, I didn't see any quilters. And then, so I thought, well, I'll just sit. And I knew that Amy and Emma from the Quilt Alliance were coming. We had texted each other. And so I just thought, well, I found a little spot. And I sat way back up under the roofed section. And I thought, I'll just wait for Amy and Emma to come. And then I saw Willa, and she went and sat down with a group of women, and she saw me and she waved me over. Well, the group of women was the African American Quilt Circle, which Will's a part of, and they were fabulous. And when Amy and Emma got there, they joined us, and we had the best time. There were probably 15 of us, and I would say sprinkled throughout the ballpark were maybe 5 others. So I don't think we broke any world records, but we had a good time. And what was neat is that, so Willa, she's a storyteller. She goes to, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee. She goes every 2 years and is like, has done a TV show, apparently has won an Emmy, and it's just neat, just very lively. And, you know, I would not be able to say how old she was, but one of her children is 37. She did not look much older than 37, but in any event. But she introduced me to everyone, and she introduced me to the woman sitting next to her, Shirley. And Shirley was very nice, very friendly, wearing a rather dapper hat. And then, and at a minute later, Shirley said something to Willa about the Durham Orange Quilters Guild. And all of a sudden I had this light bulb go off. I said, Shirley, I said, what is your last name? And she said, Bullock. I said, Shirley, I'm Frances. I'm the one you gave all the quilt books to. And she's like, oh. And so we just got very excited and grabbed each other's arms and kind of hopped up and down. But if you recall, last summer, there was a notice put in the Durham Orange Quilt Guild newsletter saying, I have all these books, these quilt documentation project books, and I'm clearing out space. I would like to give them to someone under 50. Well, I was 51 at the time. I still am, barely. And so I emailed her and said, I'm 51, so I don't meet that criteria, but I'm so interested in quilt history, and I have collected a few books myself, and this would just be amazing. I totally understand if you want to give it to somebody young, your collection is someone younger, but if you don't get any other offers, let me know. I would be happy to come pick them up, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, I'm going to give them to you. Turned out she has a granddaughter, so I gave her a lot of my books. And she told me today that her granddaughters had really liked them. And in fact, they just moved out to Texas and were very excited to report to her that their new school had my books, which I was very happy to hear. So that was love. So we had a little lovely reunion, and she's going to the Quilt Guild meeting on Monday. So I think I will too, and I can go sit with Shirley. I have a friend now in the guild. What do you know? So it was just a great time. I brought donation, you know, the donation blocks I'm working on. Well, the blocks for the donation quilt I'm working on. And one thing, when you quilt outside, you realize, like, I really need a manicure. I don't really do my nails. And, of course, everyone around me had fabulous nails. I did not do my nails and was feeling very self-conscious because they don't look great. So the other thing, I have not done a lot of public quilting, but, you know, I'm using up this Kona white that I have. Have I complained recently about Kona? Let me complain some more. Boy, I'm telling you, if I ever get anyone to sponsor this podcast, which I don't plan to, but who knows, American Brand Cotton, they should sponsor me, because they should sponsor me in life, because I go around telling everyone, that's what you should be using. That's what you should be using. Anyway, so I'm, you know, but I'm using up the rest of my Kona White and Kona Reds, and of course they're just fraying all over the place, and that felt embarrassing. So I felt like, I wish I had done my nails, just put on some clear polish. I had like ridged nails, but yeah. So I wish I had done my nails, and I wish I had trimmed some of the fraying. So I felt kind of messy, but I am kind of a messy person in general. So yeah, so food for thought. Next time you get caught up in any outdoor quilting, your hands really don't... The sunlight or even the filtered sunlight since it was cloudy, it doesn't do your hands any favor if they are not in good shape. Fortunately, my cuticles are in good shape, which is not always the case. So it was a neat way to observe National Quilting Day. One of the things that Amy, who is the director of the Quilt Alliance, told me, so once the National Quilting Association disbanded, which they did, I guess at the end of last year, maybe the beginning of this year, they had been the National Quilting Day people, the ones who just got it all together and got it all publicized and did lots of events. And in January, they asked Amy if the Quilt Alliance would take that over. And she said yes, but that's really not, 2 months is not enough time to, get a big national campaign. So I would expect, it sounded like that next year will be a bigger day and, just maybe more organized across country events. And I think, obviously a lot of quilt shops did stuff today. And had I been on top of it, I would have gone over to Thimble Pleasures this morning. I've decided, my plan is to do two birds in the air quilts. And one, I want to do something funky and modern, and the other more traditional. And I thought in the book, the birds in the air quilt is, it's a Civil War era quilt. That was a popular Civil War era block. And it's made with reds and blues. So I guess the turkey reds and Prussian blues. I'm like, I really need to go over to Thimble Pleasures and get some Barbara Brackman Civil War fabric, see if they have it. So I wish I had thought of that, but I'm going to have to sit down and figure out how much fabric I need anyway. So, and I've thought about hand piecing that, and I might. We shall see. And I'm still thinking about with the modern birds in the air, where I've got some ideas in my head about what I want to do. And, but I thought, well, maybe I'll paper piece, but I'm also thinking I might applique. I just feel like that will give me more freedom. At the same time, I have enjoyed the paper piecing I've done and would kind of like to try a little bit more. So who knows? I'll try both. Okay. It's pizza time here in the Dal abode. So I need to go order the boys some pizza, and, I will be back. Probably one way or another to say goodbye or to fill your head with all sorts of quilty thoughts at a later time. So bye for now. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Saturday, March 26th, and I am home. I've had a quiet day except for the bit where I went out to a nice French restaurant for brunch with my friend Jeff, who was Will's third grade teacher, and we stayed friends. And we had a delightful time. I came home and I pin basted the VFW star quilt. Yay. And now just need to have it around to ponder the quilting of it. And also ponder like what color threads to use in the quilting. And continue to ponder the question of binding. My dear friend Jay, art quilt maker Jay, left a comment on the last episode and said, reminded me, make visual decisions visually. Such a good idea. We'll see. You know how I am. I like to have the binding done before I start quilting. But I'm not, I think I'm going to quilt and then trim and then start making those visual decisions visually. As much as I'd rather have the binding ready to go on as soon as I'm done quilting. But I'm just happy at this point to have the quilt basted so many steps. So now I am cutting out squares for my birds. Sorry, I've got my computer here. I'm watching one of my favorite movies. It's called Missing, and it's with Judd Hirsch from Taxi. And I'm not sure when it came out. It may have come out in the 90s. It has a very 80s feel to it. And it's set in New York City. It's actually set in Brooklyn. And I wasn't, maybe it was in the movie theaters. I first saw it as a made for, on TV. And I just love it. And and partly I just love the apartment where the mother of the kidnapped child lives. And so I just mostly watch this to look at her apartment. Yeah. I also just watched on HBO, there's a new documentary out on Nora Ephron. And boy, if you want to see some great apartments, watch this documentary. Anyway, so I'm here cutting out squares. Now, you know that in some ways I'm just a perfectly smart person, perfectly bright. And then I do these boneheaded things, including, all right, my friend Jeff texted me on Thursday and said, do you want to have lunch tomorrow? And I said, yes, we were supposed to have. So we wanted to get together over spring break, which was last week. And we just didn't. And we got to the end of the week. We're like, you know, we love each other, but we're both introverts. So sometimes it can be hard. So I had been thinking this week, okay, I bet Jeff and I will do something on Saturday. Well, he texted me on Thursday and said, do you want to go get lunch tomorrow? We worked out our plans and we were going to meet at Rue Claire at 11:30. And I wrote it down on my calendar as Saturday because in my head, I'd already planned on doing something with Jeff on Saturday. So around 11:30, I'd been writing in the morning. Around 11:30, I went up and took a shower, and I got out of the shower, and Will's saying, Mr. Birch is on the phone. And of course, he said, weren't we having lunch today? So I'm like, no, I thought we were having lunch tomorrow. And he said, no, I'm pretty sure I said Friday. And what he had said was, of course, tomorrow, but I just, just went right to Saturday there. So fortunately, he's great, and we just rescheduled for today, and it was all fine and good. But that's the kind, you know, it's one of those things where you think, oh dear, I'm getting older, except I've made that kind of glitch my entire life. I've also made math glitches my entire life. So this is also, I don't think, a product of getting older. It's just a product of being me. I'm cutting, so was it last night? No. Whenever I got the fabric on Thursday, started cutting it out and realized that I had cut too small. So these birds in the air blocks that I were cutting, they were going to be 3-inch blocks. I thought that's just too small, especially because I'm planning on hand piecing this quilt, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to start over and I'm going to cut for 2.5-inch half square triangles for 8-inch blocks. But you know, in this particular block, there are only 4 squares, right? So if you have 4 2.5-inch squares, then what you end up with is a 4-inch block. Yes. That's just crazy. You know, I'm looking right at the pattern and it's like one square and then 3 half square triangles. It's just a 4 square block. And I'm like, wow, you are not bright. It doesn't, in some ways it doesn't matter, right? It just means I will have to double the number of blocks, but it's still working, you know? So in some ways it doesn't matter. In some ways I'm just like, yeah. So, but it's okay. Right now I am drawing lines on my squares that I have cut out for today to do my half square triangles. And yeah, I just have to mark them all. You know, Jenny Beyer, she doesn't apparently mark her stuff, her squares before, but I'm just like, sorry, I've got to mark each and every single one of these. It doesn't matter because I like to draw and I really actually like drawing straight lines using rulers. I don't know what that says about me. And I like doing that while I'm watching my favorite movie, Missing, about a 6-year-old who gets kidnapped. Hello. So anyway, I am excited to get started on this. And I'm very excited to get the basting out of the way. That is, it'd be interesting to do a poll if I was sort of person who could manipulate technology well enough to set up a poll. To see, like, to find out what is everyone's least favorite quilting task, and see what wins. I think a lot of people have binding issues, and it's not so much the difficulty of putting on a binding. I don't find that difficult. It's the making of the binding, and it's also just having that one last step that you forgot you had. I think so. For a lot of people, binding. Some people don't like cutting. You know, I'm okay with cutting. I need to replace my blade, and I'm so lazy and so cheap. I'm like, I can get a few more good cuts here. But basting for me, I think, is a very much a least favorite activity. And I use painter's tape, and I tape the bottom down, and half the time I forget to tape the bottom, the backing down on the floor. I forget to do it so that the it's right side down. Yeah, I do this. That's great when you've spent 40 minutes putting in safety pins, and then you flip it over and like, okay, I got this thing inside out. So there's that. So there's this taping and getting everything centered and making sure it doesn't slide. And I'm sure there are better ways to do it than the way I do it, but that's how I do it. I think, seems to me, I've heard about this. Some people, depending on the size of the quilt, will clamp their quilt to a table, clamp down the backing, and that's probably a good way to do it. I don't have clamps. I know I could just go buy clamps, but then I wouldn't have the fun of complaining about how much I hate basting. So it feels very constructive. It feels so good to have that out of the way. So yeah, I'm planning on it's Saturday. It's so nice. So nice to have a Saturday where the only obligation I had was to have lunch with someone who I really enjoy talking with and always have a great time. It's just a dear friend. I probably will go lift weights, but my weightlifting routine is like 20 minutes. It's like wimpy people's weightlifting. And other than that, I'm assuming Jack will either go out with friends tonight or a game with friends via his computer, and Will and the man will watch the NCAAs, and I will quilt. And I do have those thoughts with the hand piecing, which I've described before, I think, where sometimes you feel like, well, this is going to take so long. And then you think, well, it's not a race, not in a contest. And if worse comes to worse, where I start feeling like, wow, I need to get these quilts made before the book comes out, Birds in the Air, I could do them on the machine. But right now, I want to try to do the Civil War era version by hand. So that is where I am. I hope where you are is having a fabulous Saturday yourself. I want to thank everyone who has taken the time to comment on last week's episode, on the blog post that I posted this past Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't remember which now. I want to say thank you to Deborah, who emailed. I have been getting more emails lately from people who don't comment, but who listen and take the time to email to say, yeah, I never comment, but I really love your podcast. And that makes me feel good. I like hearing from people, whatever way works best for you to communicate with me. Let me see. I got a number of great comments on the last episode from Jay, who I think was getting caught up. Jay sort of, I a lot of times feel like she listens and comments while she's listening, which is great. And sometimes I do that. I am trying to get better about commenting on my fellow podcasters because I realize, boy, I really like getting comments. And Pam, if you're listening, I have every intention of commenting on your most recent episode. Well, actually, I think your most recent episode was Stitch Audio, but the one before that, because Pam took a class with Sharon Chambers on hand quilting. And it made me feel kind of guilty. I'm not really good at knots, and I need to sit down and just learn how to do a knot. And it sounded like they worked on knots in that class. And I just wanted to confess to Pam about what a cruddy little knot tier I am. Okay, so, and I do want to thank Ellen, who commented on episode 185. And see, follow, you could follow Ellen's example. If you're having any sort of like comment guilt, she commented before she listened. Just said, I can't wait to listen. Did that make me happy? Of course it made me happy. Thank you, Ellen. Thanks to Gail, who said this that I really, she said, a gift is given with love and let go. Well, no, that sounds like love and let go are a thing. No, a gift is given with love and then let go. The value of that quilt can differ greatly between the maker and the recipient. Yes. I thought that was a really interesting comment. It's a beautiful comment, but it's also sometimes, we can give quilts that we kind of dash off, like a donation quilt that could be really meaningful, and we'll never know how meaningful to the recipient. And sometimes there's quilts that we make that actually that it's the making which is the most meaningful thing, the most valuable thing. You know, the quilt I made for our friend David, who died, you know, like within a day of getting it. So it was very meaningful, important for me to make. And I think it's actually very valuable to his widow, Becky. But yes, so there are, our quilts are valued in a lot of different ways. And very few of those ways, as far as I'm concerned, are monetary. So Gail, thank you. Thanks to Brenda F., who commented just as soon as she started listening. And she agreed with me that getting unsolicited quilting DVDs is just a pain and it adds to the waste. Let's get people to stop that. And then I got a lot of great comments from Jay. And Jay, I'm trying to get better about commenting on your blog. I'm trying to show up for my people. And I appreciate Jay is just a great member of this community. And I think she's great about commenting on all the podcasts. And just, and also, she does a great job of posting regularly, like every day. And her posts are always valuable and have lots of interesting stuff in them. So if you haven't been over to artquiltmaker.com, please go over. I am in the process of updating my blog role. I got into it one day, and I still have work to do. If you have a blog that you want posted on my blog role, let me know. If you're a twilter and you don't see your blog posted yet, it's coming. If you put it on that list, I put a request into the Twilters for blog links. And so if you put that on the list, I will get it posted hopefully in the next week or so. Jay said something really interesting because in the last episode, I talked about crazy quilts. And she writes, crazy quilts weren't used as much as other quilts. So often they are in better shape than regularly pieced quilts. And then she writes, which I thought that it's like, oh, sure, that makes sense. Because you see a ton of them, right? And so I'm thinking, well, maybe that's because they didn't get torn apart by regular use because no one really, I won't go with that. Anyway, it's not true. I was about to say because no one really likes them, except I've seen lots of crazy quilts that I really like. You know, but what Jay says next is your comments about the crazy quilts gives credence to my demand that all quilts have to be designed in some way. And I think some crazy quilts are designed and you can see the design in the making. So the it's sort of crazy like a fox quilt, right? And then there's some quilts where they're chaotic in a way I don't find pleasing. So thanks for those comments. I got lots and lots of comments on my latest blog post and I really appreciate those as well. I think that's all I have to tell you right now. I hope you are not covered in green pollen the way we are here in North Carolina. It's that time of year. You have to get through it. I will refuse to wash my car until this is over. It can last for weeks, and there seems to be a flock of birds relieving themselves on my car. So this is starting to get super embarrassing, but I just see no reason to wash my car until the green pollen, that's pine pollen, goes away. Hope you don't have that where you are. Hope you're working on a quilt that you're really excited about. If you have a chance, drop me a comment. Shoot me an email. I love to hear from you, and I really appreciate you taking the time. But you know, if you can only do it in your head, I get that. I understand. All right, then.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.